Welcome to the Modern Yogi Podcast. An exploration of ancient wisdom.
Hello, hello, everyone.
Welcome back. We are on episode number
110.
110.
Wow. 110.
And what is your name?
Shama Sangeeta.
Yours?
The Archini.
And I'm Shamali.
Wow, this authoritative nature has a different look on you, and I like it.
I was like, let's dive right in, ladies. I'm ready.
Do you pee or something?
Why would you ask me that?
What did you say? You're like getting to the point.
She's like, oh. Do I need to pee?
What?
Oh, we didn't let Shamali pee before in the middle. So
You know, now that I'm bringing a more authoritative vibe and you ask me that as a follow-up, it diminishes the authoritative vibe. So I'd rather you don't.
I didn't mean to.
No, but it really was authoritative. Like, I couldn't even say my name.
I was scared. It was a little scary. Oh. Is this like teacher Shamali?
Oh, you don't even know. There's a side that scares myself sometimes.
Really?
You know, like, everyone has the teacher voice. Priya, you probably had to develop
Do your teacher voice.
You can't even, it's something that's from a source within and it comes out and you're like, whoa, where did
and
that come
face,
from?
The face, it's the like, face. You know, it's like,
What if I'm constantly chanting? What if I'm constantly talking?
Have a seat. You know, it's like
Oh my God.
I just
peed a little. That was crazy.
Okay. Anyways, wow. We should talk about Krishna now.
You guys have crazy teacher voices. That's awesome.
If you're going to do that one more time, you're going to step outside of my classroom.
Oh my God. I'm sweating.
That face was so spot on, Shamali.
So
I wish you had faced the camera, but it's fine.
God.
It was so good.
That was cool, actually.
You can do it too. It's just a superpower.
I don't know if I have it in me. Mm. You guys have it because you deal with kids.
No. You may not think you have it, but after, give yourself a couple of years in a class with children.
A couple of weeks.
It'll come. Wow. It'll come from, I keep bumping my chin.
just stand straight.
Yeah. Wow. It'll come from deep within your core.
Okay. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Anyways,
okay. Where are we? Oh, Bhagavad Gita? Okay, cool. We are on chapter 13. Yeah. Anybody want to talk about the recap? I can talk about it. This is what I wrote. Like to sleep all day, you might be a hibernating bear in your next life.
What?
Wild, right? Krishna explains that Prakriti, nature, is the cause of actions and experiences, while Purusha, the soul, enjoys or suffers based on attachment to these actions.
Okay.
I might have used ChatGPT for
it. I was like, what?
I thought she was going to bring up all the moments. Hibernating bear, Geico lizard, like just throw fragments. And I was supposed to be like, that's epic. I love that.
I mean, if it was up to me, they'd all be like that. But
no, you write wonderful summaries of our podcasts.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Don't even.
She did it in her sleep. She barely wakes up and she'll just spew out genius.
You know, honestly, it's all Krishna. Krishna, you know, I didn't even notice that I could do that until you guys pointed it out. And then I was like, Krishna. Gave me that.
Nice.
100%.
Super sweet.
Give me that. All
right. Anyways, we're just talking about the soul.
Yeah, we're going into detail about the soul and the nature and karma, actually. A lot of the last episode was about karma.
Mm-hmm. Without saying the word karma.
It's
kind of like, but also what I found really interesting about last episode, it was talking about a lot about how, like, once you're in this position of a human or this or that, like, a lot of, we don't have control. Like, the material nature really is like pushing this in that way. And so, yeah, that was an interesting perspective.
Yeah.
Anyways, you guys can listen to that episode.
Ready? Ladies, the invocation, please.
Om Agyanate Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
Translation. I was born in the darkest ignorance and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto them.
Okay.
All right. Chapter 13, text number 23, Priyadarshini.
Yet, in this body, there is another, a transcendental enjoyer, who is the Lord, the supreme proprietor, who exists as the overseer and permitter, and who is known as the supersoul.
Ooh, can you read that one more time?
Yes. Yet, in this body, there is another, a transcendental enjoyer, who is the Lord, the supreme proprietor, who exists as the overseer and permitter, and who is known as the supersoul.
Ooh, okay. So this is kind of cool because like, so we have two sparks inside of our heart, right? It's our soul, right? And then the super soul, which is Krishna, like the little bit of Krishna that's inside of us. And this verse is kind of like a checklist of all of the things that the super soul is kind of made up of.
Oh, okay. Nice. Right?
And so the super soul inside of us is a transcendental enjoyer. He is actually the Lord himself. He is the supreme proprietor. He exists as the overseer and the permitter. So that little spark inside of us can see everything and allows things to happen.
Yeah. And the owner.
And the owner. Like,
isn't that proprietor means?
Yeah. Owner of a business or a holder of property. So in a way,
the ultimate
truly belong to him. Mm-hmm. He's our proprietor.
Yeah. Prabhupada goes on to say that the individual soul enjoys the activities of a particular field, right? Or just, you know, karma, this, that, or there. But the super soul is present, not as a finite enjoyer, nor as one taking part in bodily activities, but as the witness, the overseer, the permitter, and the supreme enjoyer.
Oh, I love that line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he's just like, he's witness to our lives. He oversees. I wonder what the difference between witness and oversee would be. Like he kind of, oh, I get it. Like someone who oversees your work, they're kind of making sure you're being guided in the right way.
Supervisor.
Yeah, like a supervisor. So he witnesses, but he's also a supervisor kind of guiding the way. Permitter, allowing us to do things because at the end of the day, we're not in control.
Yep.
And then obviously the supreme enjoyer. That's so fascinating.
I love that distinction you said between witness and overseer, because as the witness, it's a very sweet mood of he's going to let us act out our desires as we choose, but he's there always waiting as the witness of every single thought and action without judgment, just waiting.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of comforting to know that even in moments of like darkness and you like turn to prayer, this is like proof that Krishna exists already inside of you and is understanding your emotions and witnessing your emotions and knowing exactly what you're going through. Like you're not alone when you're in a mood of prayer. Even if you're not praying, Krishna already knows what's going on inside of you.
Yeah. Actually, Prabhupada says something about that. He says, the Lord is always eager to take one, like the soul back into the spiritual energy, but due to their minute independence and the individual entity is let me try that again. I wanted to take out the word his and make it they, but it was hard in my brain.
That's okay.
The Lord is always eager to take him back to the spiritual energy, but due to his minute independence, the individual entity is continually rejecting the association of spiritual light. This misuse of independence is the cause of his material strife in the conditioned nature. But then it says, the Lord, therefore, is always given instruction from within or from without. So that idea that Krishna is always there, always giving us giving us guidance, right? Like that that gut feeling,
intuition,
yep. Like those things that it's like Krishna from our heart, actually.
Yeah, and Prabhupada continues because that line you read, Priya, is one of my favorites: from within and from without. And Prabhupada says, so from without, he gives instruction, like stated in the Bhagavad Gita that we're reading and discussing now. But from within, he tries to convince the living entity that his activities in this material field don't bring real happiness. It's not conducive to that. So in a way, Prabhupada puts in quotes, Krishna's in a way saying, just give it up and turn your faith towards me. Then you will be happy. Yet he doesn't force it on us. He just tries to subtly in the super soul guide us. And we need to try to connect to that gut feeling, that intuition, or as we know, the super soul.
Aww.
Yeah, it's kind of just beautiful that like it is kind of proof that intuition is real. I mean, everyone talks about like you got to follow your gut, you got to follow your intuition. But like no one talks about why. And a lot of times our gut knows best, our intuition knows best, because that intuition is directly God. Like God trying to speak to us.
Well, I think it becomes tricky when we have a lot of inner voices and you have to be very fine-tuned in your intelligence, in the distinction of your senses to your intelligence, to your ego, to know which voice am I listening to, you know, because Prabhupada says someone who's intelligent really places his faith in the Paramatma or in Krishna within and then advances towards a blissful eternal life of knowledge. But someone who's not maybe so elevated think they're listening to the voice of intuition of Krishna, but it's really just their ego or the lower modes talking to them.
Yeah. I have an example for that one. Like, let's say that you, someone offers you your favorite dessert.
Yeah.
Right. I know this is not what Krishna is usually doing, but Krishna might, intuition wise, might be like, don't eat that. Like you're satisfied now. Like that would give you a stomach ache. It's almost time to sleep. Maybe that's not a good thing to do. But then if you don't have control of the mind and the senses are going to be like, but it's so delicious. You should try it. Just taste a little bit, like just lick it. Just take a little spoon.
All these
thoughts will actually override your intuition that you probably shouldn't have that piece of cake.
Yeah.
Right. And so it's like, yes. Krishna's always there, always trying to guide us, but our mind and our senses are really trying to mess that up because we want to fulfill those desires of eating that amazing dessert. You know,
just lick it.
He's always there guiding us from, no, it might be something so silly like a cake or something so big like a life decision, but he's absolutely, like they say, not a blade of grass moves without God's command, you know? So every little thing, like I was going to give an example of for myself I look back on this moment. Sometimes someone I was in a relationship for a while, I remember I think back to the very, very first time he went to grab my hand and my gut, my intuition was almost to like retreat my hand. I didn't think much of it in that moment, but after the whole history played out, I looked back and thought, how interesting that was my gut response to almost. I remember internally thinking, no, no, no. And I wanted to pull back. But in the moment, I thought, you rationalize. I thought, maybe it's just nerves, whatever. I don't know. You rationalize, but for some reason, it wasn't a big yes. It was a, you know?
Hesitation, yeah.
Maybe that was God trying to protect you in some way.
Yeah, yeah. Oof. So gut feelings. What our body initially, without even thinking, what's our initial like, boom, reaction?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Wait, I have a question. So you know how like we have the mind, we have the senses, we have the intelligence. Is there a difference between the intelligence and intuition?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And how do we discern the difference?
That's a great question.
I mean, the first thing that comes to mind, and I'm no expert, it's like intelligence is sort of like the rational, logical voice speaking in your mind, and intuition sometimes it's just like a feeling.
Like a
feeling. You felt it. You know what I mean? Like
a feeling. Okay. That makes sense. Yeah.
I don't know that I can say it any other way, but we've all felt to some degree a sense of something carrying us one way. Like even, I don't know.
Yeah. You know, I just turned back to the picture that we've talked about, you know, of the driver holding the reins of the senses. So maybe this might add some clarity when we know that the individual, us, our body, we're the passenger of the car of the material body. The material body is the car, the individual is the passenger, and the intelligence is the driver. So we use our intelligence to drive the vehicle, to make the decisions. But now with our intelligence, we can tune into the subtle whisper of the super soul. That's how they can interact, because the mind is the driving instrument and the senses are the horses. So the individual, our soul, is seated in the car of the body, kind of observing all of our decisions. Almost he looks terrified there. But with our intelligence, we need to take control of our senses. And from there, with our intelligence, we can try to refine our senses to tune into Krishna in our heart or the super soul.
So then the gut and the intelligence can work together.
Exactly.
Right? If you really hone in on that gut feeling and you shut everything else off and you really listen to what's happening in your gut, then your gut can tell your intelligence and your intelligence can make a good decision.
Yeah.
I love that way to put it.
It almost sounds like the intelligence chooses between sense gratification or Krishna's guidance.
Absolutely.
Like the gut feeling, you know, it's
absolutely.
Like,
good point.
Like the intelligence is the one that makes kind of the rational choice between the two, but those are two feelings that we're constantly having.
Yeah.
I love that.
Ooh. And to continue this train of thought, we just read about how like based on our previous life's things, we're given a certain body. So let's say we might be also still given another human body, but with different nature, different propensity, but still we can use the intelligence to determine, are we going to continue feeding into our nature if our nature is destructive, or am I going to use my intelligence to choose something higher? And that will always be there for all human beings, no matter what their nature is.
Yeah, totally. Great thought process.
Very nice, guys. Very nice. Like the stairs we were climbing together.
I love
go
it.
Team, go.
Nice. Yeah, very
anything,
nice.
Anything else on this verse?
Go ahead.
Mine is simple. The innumerable living entities of all the innumerable entities, Krishna is within all of them.
Mm,
as a friend. Prabhupada says here, he's staying in them as a friend, which I thought was really sweet.
And that line, it says, okay, he's in them as Paramatma and he is present within to sanction the individual soul's desiring material enjoyment. And I had a question. So to sanction to me almost, and I don't know the literal definition, to almost like give permission to the individual soul's desiring material enjoyment. Yet he's also, how do we merge that with the thought that he's also witnessing, he's not controlling. So he's witnessing, yet he's sanctioning our desires of material nature.
On a different purport, Prabhupada made a comment about how we have a very small amount of free will.
Right.
Like it's not like free will is the majority of what we have. Like material nature is still controlling us. All these things are still factors. So it's almost like Krishna is another factor. Like at the end of the day, he kind of leads our movements, I like that. If that makes sense.
Yeah. Like we think we're controlling, but really we're being controlled by our nature, goodness, passion, ignorance. And Krishna's observing and sanctioning all of our desires.
Yeah. What was that word? Anyways, Shamsangita, what was it?
Sanction.
We know how to say it.
So what does it mean?
Sorry, what? Oh, what? You didn't need to know how to pronounce sanction? No. Okay, cool. Sanction means official permission or approval for an action.
So he's witnessing, witnessing us, but how is he sanctioning our desires? How is he sanctioning our
desires?
That's
interesting.
I mean, he's giving permission for the free will to occur.
Ooh.
Say more.
Like, because like nothing can happen without Krishna.
Okay.
Allowing it to happen.
Right.
So even if we have a deep desire for something, like to eat this something, right? Like he's allowing everything to happen because he's in charge of everything.
That is so good. So we might have a desire that he's not going to sanction. That is so good. So, okay. Oh, yes. So to repeat it back, I'm a verbal processor. Yeah. So he's going to witness all of our desires and only sanction a few of them to actually come to fruition.
Well, I feel like, is that what you
were
saying?
That's what she
said, yeah. Well, anything that is meant to happen, supposed to happen, I think he will sanction it, right?
That's essentially what I'm trying to say, right? Because we have all sorts of desires that he'll witness, but he's only going to sanction or allow for some of those desires to happen and he'll deny others, right?
Okay, so I feel like I understood it maybe a tiny bit different. Like in the, there's a part, where does it say this? Anyways, it says it here in the purport. It says the individual is bhukta, which is sustain, and the Lord is bhukta, which is the maintainer. So like what I understood from what Shama said, maybe I read it differently, was like Krishna gives us the ability to have this body, to have this mouth, to have, to be able to have the intelligence to grow vegetables and this and that without his giving us this, permitting us to have these abilities in general, we would not be able to fulfill our desires.
I think that's true also, right? Both
also
are true.
Both are true.
Both are there. So he said he sanctions in different ways. So you just said a way that I didn't think of that, but totally he sanctions us to be able to even enact our desires. And from there, so interesting, right? This one, she says one statement and there's different ways to see it. Just like the text, there's different ways to feel it. But yeah, absolutely. He sanctions this in that way. And I think he sanctions which desires happen because he doesn't fulfill all our desires or we all may be millionaires, whatever, you know? So yeah, interesting. He sanctions in different ways. That was just a question I had when I read. I was like, okay, sanctions. Yet he is a witness.
Super cool.
Very nice. Very nice. And you know, one, you want to play a word? Chama, go for it.
Sanction.
She's so funny. How'd you know?
I just could see the face, and you've done it for the past two episodes, so I started recognizing the face you put before playing the word.
I just love when Google says the word.
It's great. It's great.
Okay, sorry, continue.
One thing I want to say, we had a discussion a few episodes ago, or maybe it was last episode, about not seeing everything so black and white. So the black and white version might be like, desires are bad. Desires stink. But at the same time, we can try to tune into Krishna's hand guiding everything, because I want to say one little fun perspective that my dad had when I saw him recently. He lives in this small little mountain village in Mammoth Lakes. And he likes to go to their local thrift store, which is an awesome place. And there's all these trinkets. And every day you go there, you might find something different. And I think this purport is talking about Krishna being our very most intimate dear friend. So the premise there of a friendship is a reciprocation, a back and forth. We're going to try to refine our desires and step forward to Krishna, but he's also going to then reciprocate with us. Meaning,
Wait. Go ahead. Keep going.
Keep going.
Brain fart. Anyway, so here's what this means. Yes. So Krishna's our friend. There's a reciprocation. We try and step closer to him. He's going to also reciprocate with where we're at and our desires. So I think seeing his hand in everything is really sweet, because then it turns even something like, one might think I'm so low to still have desires. But then my dad, for example, he went to this local thrift store, and whenever he's been needing something, let's say a household appliance or something he really has been needing, and he'll stop by the local thrift store and it'll all of a sudden be there. He'll be like, ah, Krishna reciprocated so much with what I needed, with my desire. Mm. And it just transforms it. We're all going to have desires. And instead of seeing it as something so negative, I have desires still, I'm not a pure devotee, you can just feel it in a positive way. Krishna's reciprocating with me where I'm at. So if you really want something, and for example, you go to the thrift store and it's there, wow, Krishna so knows what I need in this moment and is gifting it to me in a way. And that's with anything. Krishna will find little ways to reciprocate with where we're at. And I think that's a really sweet way to see Krishna's hand always there, even when we're not fully free of whatever wanting stuff in this material world.
Yeah. I mean, I think even like, I mean, maybe this is like not the example that you're wanting, but I do think like desires, like I had a desire to have a podcast.
Oh, yeah. Right?
Like, let's say it like that, right? Like not all desires are bad.
Yeah, absolutely.
And a lot of times actually I've heard people say that like, because we're here, because we have certain desires, and certain desires might not be actually so terrible, right? Like It's a different thing if you want to be like, oh, the first thought I had.
PG. Gotta keep it PG.
Like, if your desire is to be like a mafia person,
okay,
right?
Yeah, like that's been there. Yep.
This is on the, I just went to like an extreme, but the idea of like doing something that's terrible, obviously that's not the goal. But like, if your desire is like, oh man, I really want to be famous. I really want to be seen, or I really want to be whatever it is. I really want to become a better cook, whatever it is. I mean, it doesn't really matter. I think sometimes I've heard people say like, it's better to actually, if it's something that's manageable and doable, do it.
Yeah.
Overcome it. Get that desire out of this lifetime. Like, get it out of the way, because it's why we're here, right? We have all these desires. So it's almost like fulfill it so that you can focus on your purpose.
Mm. Totally.
You know what
totally.
I mean?
Yeah. And there's like this, my algorithm for social media is just astrology reels. And there's literally like an astrologer that was talking about the same thing, where it's like, if you have this desire, yeah, go out and do it. Because that desire is supposed to teach you that wasn't the point of it all.
Yeah.
The point of everything is your ninth house, which is your connection to God, right? And so like, go out and do it, and you'll realize by yourself that wasn't worth it.
Yeah.
And that's the lesson that you're supposed to learn.
Yeah, exactly. And sometimes we can overpass that and say like, well, I know that's not the ultimate goal, so you know what, but sometimes we cannot. And it's like our hearts and everything about us is like, oh man, but I really want to accomplish this, or I really want to do that, or I really have this desire, whatever. It's really strong. If that is so strong that it's impeding your spiritual progress, like, fulfill it.
Yeah. Green light. Let's go.
Yeah.
That's me speaking. That's not Prabhupada or Krishna.
We're your book club buddies.
No, but I think there's so much truth here to what you're saying, and there's different ways to take it. Go for it because you'll get it out of your system, or go for it because some desires might end up actually bringing you closer to Krishna.
For sure.
Your desire to, what I said in the last episode, to be a seen comedian. Maybe that'll end up reaching so many hearts because you'll talk about real things. So even if you feel your motivation to get into it is whatever, Krishna has his plan, and it may take you even closer to him than you know. So there's different ways. So, but the concept that Priya, you say, I totally think 100%, 100%.
Yeah. And of course, if we can make it all into the lens of Krishna consciousness, then we can say like, well, I want to be a comedian, but I will make sure to infuse it with spiritual knowledge. Or if I want to be, no, it doesn't work for mafia person.
No, it doesn't.
I will kill for Krishna.
But there's always a way to spiritualize whatever nature you have.
Yes, 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 yes. That's the point I was trying to make, but the mafia thing really ruined it for me.
No, I loved it. It was great.
It was great. It was fun.
Anyway.
Anything else on this verse?
Nope.
No? Text 24, Shamsa Gita.
Oh, wow. Okay, yes. Krishna says, one who understands this philosophy concerning material nature, the living entity, and the interaction of the modes of nature is sure to attain liberation.
Mm.
He will not take birth here again, regardless of his present position.
Nice.
So like if a fish figures it out, it would just go back to Krishna?
Interesting. Yeah.
You know, I was being silly.
I was just thinking about animals.
I was literally thinking, I was like, can a fish figure it out?
I was about to say, we have these two little cats at home, and one of them, Gigi, this black cat, she stares at you. She's a tiny little fluff ball, but she stares at you with such inquisitive eyes and pierces into your soul. And if an animal could figure it out, I think Gigi has figured it out.
Oh, I recently saw a video that cats fully 100% understand you. So if you can preach to your cat, I suggest you do so.
Gigi is going back to Godhead.
Well, last night she was looking at me like, and she puts her head to the side and makes this little noise. And she wants attention. So I started rubbing her and I was saying, Hare Krishna, Gigi. And I started chanting to Gigi. And oh yeah, you can bring, let's bring everybody back home. All animals.
Yeah. I love it. That's okay. So sweet.
All right.
On a random tangent.
Yeah.
We haven't even gotten to the freaking verse.
We basically did. I highlighted zero on this purport and that's a first.
No, it kind of makes sense.
Me too.
I knew it. Priya.
Me too. We're like synced up.
Priya, why are you laughing at that for anyone who might not know? Why is that funny?
What were you saying, Priya? You had a really good point. Let's talk about it.
So Shamali and I highlight pretty much the same things on every, and we don't like, discuss it beforehand. We just like read through it and we highlight all the same things. So that's why it's funny that neither of us highlighted this purport.
Yeah.
Because the text is self-explanatory and I don't want to out Shama, but it's funny that she also didn't highlight and why is for that different
funny?
Reasons.
Right. We don't want to out her, but why is that funny? That
it's so funny. Well, I don't highlight a lot. Okay. Right. There we have
That's
it.
Generous. We have it. That's generous.
We don't highlight. I mean, I don't highlight this week. But like, you know what's so crazy is
speak
that
for yourself, girl.
The three of us didn't highlight on this one.
I know, that's amazing. That's the first time probably in the whole Gita.
I think so too. We're synced up, ladies.
Is this the first time in the whole Gita? Let's commemorate this. Chapter 13, text 24. All three of us did not highlight.
Wow.
That's an accomplishment.
That's amazing. Okay.
Amazing.
What's Krishna saying here?
I was going to talk about something else random.
Give me a second.
I can take it back. Let's go back to Krishna.
No, what is it? Don't check it out.
It's really random.
Have you ever seen
The videos of the dog that can communicate? I've talked about this before.
Oh, and it puts its paw on the different buttons. What? And the buttons mean different things.
Yeah. So the owner has all these buttons and the buttons like water.
Walk.
Human. Oh, wow. Outside. Yes. No. Like different buttons, right?
Yeah.
And the dogs, they have conversations with the owners, like full-on conversations. Oh. And this particular dog is a little existential. So then it started asking I don't remember the name of the dog.
Rover.
Sure. It's a girl.
Rovi.
Okay. We'll call her Rovi. Rovi's like, Rovi, what is? Like, what am I? Mm-hmm. Right. And so the owner started introducing the concept of like animals. So then they're like, Roby, dog, animal. And then the dog would be like, then it would say the name of the owner. So let's call the owner
Fred.
It would be like, Fred, what is?
Oh my God.
Ooh. And so the most recent, and not that I keep up, but the recent video that I saw was the dog was asking what was the cat. And so then the owner was like, okay, so Rovi, dog, animal, Fred, human, animal, and then the cat, give it a name.
Puss in Boots.
Oh. That's really good that you have no desire to have children because they'd be traumatized by the name you give them.
Okay.
So boots, cat, animal.
Oh, wow.
But like to think that rationale is happening there, right? And like they're figuring out. Yeah. So like, hey, listen, the soul will find a way to find Krishna.
And that dog is engaging in the first step of the Gita that, you know, with the part where Krishna's like, if you can't do this, do this. If you can't do this, if you can't do anything, just think, start thinking.
Ask questions. Literally.
Yeah.
Wow.
Fascinating, right?
And when I hear stuff like that, Priya, it makes me think people who think animals don't have souls and are totally okay killing animals to eat them. My heart doesn't understand. Like, what are you doing?
It's just a disconnect. I think like the more you ask questions, the more you're connected to everything. And sometimes people don't ask.
Totally. It is a disconnect because it doesn't mean they're bad people. I know so many great people who eat meat and it's just they don't think about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They purposely distance themselves from what that is to not really have to rationalize it, which is sad, unfortunate. But okay, back to the text.
Yeah, back to the text. So wait, is Christian saying that one who understands his philosophy concerning material nature and us and the interaction of the modes of goodness is sure to attain liberation? So just if we understand this concept, he will not take birth here again.
Well, yeah, but what it means is like if you understand it and live by it.
Right.
Because to understand it means not to just conceptually be like, I get that, but actually to be able to apply it.
Oh man, I was looking for a loophole.
I giggled in the beginning because I just thought you were going to read the whole thing. Is Krishna saying? And read the whole text again. So that's why I giggled.
That sounds like something I would do.
It does. And then I realized that's not what you're doing. I thought, oh, I sound like a jerk now just laughing at her idea. So I went and just said no.
Wait, is Krishna saying one who understands this?
Well, let's read it one more time anyways. Yeah, yeah. Very, so that, because we've gone through a lot and we haven't even, you know. Yeah. Read it one more time.
Okay. Krishna says, one who understands this philosophy concerning material nature, comma, the living entity and the interaction of the modes of nature is sure to attain liberation. He will not take birth here again, regardless of his present position. Okay. Well, there should be an asterisk then. After attain liberation, there should be an asterisk that says, and also apply the philosophy.
Shama Sangeeta will be like, there will be a whole show that after death, she's like, am I in Godoka Vrindavan? And Krishna will be like, no, she's like, but I didn't see an asterisk.
Well, if you're going to say liberation, Krishna, you should make sure if there's an asterisk, you have to also apply the philosophy.
That's true.
But also, there should be an asterisk on this whole book. You have to apply all of this knowledge. Yeah,
I think he does say it.
He does say it in other places.
Maybe.
But there, you're totally right.
Right? That's so agree.
Funny. Wait, but what is liberation?
What is liberation, Shama?
Because I thought as devotees, we're not supposed to want liberation.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about you guys. I still want liberation.
Moving on.
Liberation meaning not taking birth again, right? Or being with Krishna? One of those?
I mean,
A, B, or C.
Here's the thing. I think Krishna's saying, The pure devotee will want to just serve Krishna wherever he is, whether it's here or up there. So we don't seek liberation, but Krishna's saying, but you'll still get it if you do this. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, that shouldn't be our priority, but Krishna's just guaranteeing us for,
since
we don't want it.
Yeah, yeah. It's like if you had a rich friend and you're like, I want your friendship, but the side perk is that I get to do fun things with you that are really expensive, but I shouldn't want the really expensive things because then that's just materialistic and that doesn't mean I really want your friendship.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
So it's like you want the friendship, but like, of course, no one's going to be bothered by the side benefit.
That is such a great way to
see
it.
Good example.
Thank you.
Yeah. Because the friend, the rich friend would be like, if that's even a factor in the equation of motivating you to be a friend, it's kind of hurtful.
Ooh.
You know? So that's...
But
even a step further, Krishna doesn't mind then if that's an initial motivating factor because we'll ultimately love him deeply and purely anyways.
Yeah, as long as it's not the final factor.
Exactly.
Because he knows that he's lovable and we're going to end up loving him, you know? Mm. But like,
But then would you sit with Krishna on a private jet and a bus? Probably, yes.
Yeah.
Because you love Krishna.
Yeah, I mean, I would do that with you.
So I'll see you with your like rich friends and you'd be like, I'm only here for their heart.
Okay. No joke though. This is really silly and I've always thought about this. I'm the kind of person who doesn't actually care about like fame or money or anything like that. And I always think about all these celebrities who are like depressed and sad. Mm. And I always think like, damn, if only they knew me, like I could be their friend and then they wouldn't be lonely and sad. And I don't even care about the perks. I don't want anyone to know I'm friends with them or anything. I just don't want them to be so sad. Like, I feel like that's such a lonely world.
Aww. Priya, I think that's the sweetest thought, but it could be made funny. Priya's bedtime thoughts, if celebrities only knew me.
If Shawn Mendes, if he was just my friend, I think he'd be happy.
He has good friends. I'm talking about like, you know.
I mean, it's a sweet thought. I get you.
It is
a
very
you.
Sweet thought.
Like Matthew Perry. Or like...
Friend.
You know, Robin Williams.
Oh, I would love to be Robin Williams'
friend.
You
know what I mean? And like, I don't care about, like, no one needs to know I'm your friend. I just, you know, give you a little bit of friendship, a little bit of Krishna.
Yeah. Well, I do want to make a testimonial. Priya is a really good friend. So I feel like if you're a sad celebrity listening to this podcast, please DM Priya, okay? Yeah. Not even Modern Yogi Podcast. DM her personal account and be like, hey, I'm a celebrity looking for a friend.
I don't think she wants you to give her birth. What's her at on? Oh, it's on. It's actually already public.
It's in the bio.
We put it for everybody. What's her address? They can show up here.
No. Also, I am married. I'm happy. This is not what that is about.
No, she just wants friendship.
And you know what? I'm so bad at responding to things. I probably never notice that you DM me.
She'll respond 6 months later.
So I actually message Shama and then she'll let me know.
It's asa.lol at asa.lol on Instagram.
She's like, celebrities, message me. Asa.lol.
Asa.lol.
I just had a comedic flash of this could be just a whole highlight reel of thoughts with the modern yogis. And Shama sitting there with her rich friends. I just love their heart. That's what I'm in for. And Priya in the bath looking out at a stormy day. If celebrities only knew me. Hashtag modern yogis.
Oh, man. This is a ridiculous
segue. We should
do
a reel like that one day. I love it. Anyway, we're going to do it. We're going to post it one day. Okay.
All right. Anything else besides the asterisks that's needed in this verse?
No, we're going to say goodbye to the purport none of us highlighted. Bye.
Love
that
it.
Was fun.
Goodbye. Love it. Ta-ta. All right. Ooh, Shamblee. Text 25.
Wow. It's rare. Seldom I get to read texts. You know, we don't get to
You say that every seldom. Time you read it.
Seldom.
Yeah.
Oh, it's me. Mario. Seldom.
Seldom, yes. All right. Who's talking? Krishna. Yes. Mm-hmm. Some perceive the supersoul within themselves through meditation, others through the cultivation of knowledge, and still others through working without fruitive desires.
Oh, one more time.
Some perceive the supersoul within themselves through meditation, others through the cultivation of knowledge, and still others through working without fruitive desires.
Ooh. So,
right. Interesting. Different paths to realize Krishna.
Is it different paths to feel that intuition within us or to like understand that intuition within us? That's Krishna, right? You can do it through meditation.
Right.
You can do it through really understanding the knowledge, like reading this chapter in particular, which is all about the super soul, right? The cultivation of knowledge or through working without fruitive desires.
Are
like
you
devotional
saying,
service?
Are you saying that they've already known Krishna and they're trying to cultivate it or?
Perceive the super soul. Does that mean like really understand?
Like awareness?
Like
maybe?
Awareness of the super soul.
Like it's like, yeah, I feel like somebody who might not even think like of God, like someone who thinks of God as something that exists everywhere doesn't necessarily realize that it's within their heart. Mm. And so that awareness of thinking like, oh, God is within me too.
Yeah. I mean, how do you like actually develop that relationship or understand what the super soul is, right? Say you have like, you're in between two jobs, right? And you don't know which one to go. And you're like, Krishna, where do I go? And you sit and you contemplate and you meditate on it. And you actually try to quiet all the other voices. Then some perceive that super soul, that guidance, that light within, that intuition through that meditative journey, right?
Yeah. And some people might think like, okay, what, you know, cultivation of knowledge. So some people might think like when someone dies, what dies since the body stays, like they might be more rational and think of it of like a way. And then they might realize, oh, there's a soul, but they can't just be a soul. What is like, and then like that comes
reading
to
books
the knowledge.
About it. Yeah. Exactly. Reading Vedic knowledge. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. It says there are some people who are pure in consciousness, but that's like even that alone, I haven't finished the sentence, but it says there are some people who are pure in consciousness who try to find out the super soul by meditation. And when they discover the super soul within themselves, they become transcendentally situated.
Mm.
So in this case, transcendentally situated would mean they're now on the path of bhakti.
Yeah.
Right?
They're being guided. Yeah.
You know, the beginning of the purport, it's interesting because Prabhupada says, and I almost have a question or thought about this. Okay. The Lord informs Arjuna that the conditioned souls can be divided into two classes of men, as far as one's search for self-realization. So on one side, you have those who have turned away either momentarily or whatever, turned away from Krishna, from divinity, like atheists, agnostics, or skeptics that are beyond the sense of spiritual awareness. But then there's others who are the ones he listed in this text, those who are faithful in their understanding of spiritual life, and they are introspective devotees, philosophers, and workers who have renounced fruitive results. I think also part of me thinks there's a gray area where both of these categories overlap, because a lot of people who are agnostic, for example, just means they haven't found something that has reached them yet, but doesn't mean that an agnostic through meditation or cultivation of knowledge or working without fruitive desires couldn't come to realizing it, right?
Mm. Yeah, I mean, the definition of agnosticism is like you know that there's a God out there, but you don't belong to a certain religion or spiritual path, right?
But I have a question about that. And I'm just devil's advocate.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Just trying to figure it out, right? If you're agnostic, because atheists, you're basically declaring, I don't believe there is a God, right? And so a person who is atheist, who is an atheist, is closed off to understanding spiritual knowledge, right? They don't have an interest. A skeptic is someone who's looking for reasons why it's probably not true, right? Someone who's like, well, no, like, are you sure? This and that. How will they cultivate faith if they're they're skeptic of everything?
Right. Mm.
And then if we look at agnostic, which is, if you want to define it, Shama.
Actually, no, I was wrong. It's a person who holds the view that any ultimate reality, such as God, is unknown and probably unknowable. So they don't know.
So they don't
know? They don't deny that there is a God, but they also don't say that there is.
So that a person who doesn't know and thinks that it's not really knowable will not believe or have faith in spiritual understanding because they're already declared that it's unknowable.
Right.
Right. So there's people who fully deny, atheists, people who are skeptical to the point where they cannot accept. And then people who say it's not knowable. There's no point in this. So like, I think Prabhupada's making a very clear point here about not to say that someone who is agnostic cannot change their mind. That's not the point.
Right, right.
But the real definition of these positions, if you hold them true to the, to the word.
No, it's a good distinction you said, because it's kind of about where's your heart, where's your intention. So maybe someone who's working and tries to, is very pious and renounces the fruits of his results or detached, even if he might not believe in God yet, he sounds more open. His intention is open. So he'll come to it. So yeah, it's all about the intention.
Yeah, I think that's all it is. It's like open-mindedness versus closed-mindedness. And when you have made, you know, categorize yourself as atheist, agnostic, or skeptic, and I'm sure there's other even qualifying titles you could say, then you are close-minded to that spiritual knowledge and that growth.
Yeah.
And even to perceive the super soul God within you.
Exactly. Because how could you if you're already denying all of those things? I also thought it was really cool that Prabhupada talks about how Hatha Yoga system is like another way of meditating that, you know, like you can perceive the super soul by that process.
Yeah, I also thought that. And I thought one word particularly that he uses there with Hatha Yoga is interesting, because he said, he talks about that when he says others kind of find the supreme by cultivation of knowledge, and they cultivate Hatha Yoga system, and they try to satisfy the supreme personality of Godhead by, he writes, childish activities. So at first I thought, what does that really mean? But then, you know how they say you need to become childlike to enter the kingdom of God. So I don't know exactly what Prabhupada means here, but one interpretation is in many religious traditions, they talk about that, become childlike, not childish, but childlike to enter the kingdom of God. So qualities like curiosity, innocence, all these things. So
for sure. Also, I mean, if we think about it in terms of like this whole process from the very beginning of the book, the first thing that it said was to meditate, right? And to like do Hatha Yoga, like all of these body systems, right? To get closer to Krishna. So I think it's like one of those earlier stages, like of the ladder of all the ways to reach Krishna. It's a way, but it's like one of the rudimentary ones. Like,
good word. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I think that's maybe part of all the, also the childlike activity.
Yeah, in the beginning.
Right.
The beginning.
So essentially, I think the summary of the whole purport, and Priya, that was a good distinction in the beginning about it's a different mood or a different approach, because the skeptic, agnostic, or atheist who's totally closed off, they might have a harder time. Doesn't mean they can't jump into the other category. But for all of the others, whether you're like a Sankhya philosopher who you're just trying to analyze the material world, you'll come to it because you'll start realizing the breakdown of what is really the soul, what is the difference of the material elements. Then gradually you'll start to understand devotional service. Then also the other ones who are maybe more pious and trying to be detached from the results, they're also given a chance to advance. So it's cool to see that as long as you keep an open heart, you'll find your way home.
Yeah, there's a way. Just keep swimming.
Just keep swimming. Just keep swimming. Well, ladies, it was really nice to get to know the Super Soul with you. My Super Soul thanks you.
Oh, my Super Soul thanks you too. Thanks you too.
My Super Soul thanks you.
Beautiful.
I mean, if Krishna allows permission for that Super Soul, if
he sanctifies it.
If it's sanctified,
he'll witness it and sanctify it.
Isn't that what namaste means? Like the Super Soul within me sees the Super Soul within me.
I believe so.
Offers respect.
Is that what? No, he's saying a big fat nope.
You know what? We're going to talk about that next episode.
We might.
We'll clarify that.
But it's a beautiful interpretation.
Thank you.
Please join us next time for chapter 13, text number 26.
See you next time.
Bye.
Edible. Hello, beautiful souls. If you like what you're hearing, please follow us on Instagram at Modern Yogi Podcast.
And if you love what you're hearing, please make sure to share a link to our podcast at Modern Yogi Podcast with all your friends, families, and long lost cousins.
And if you have any questions at all, send us a DM on Instagram at Modern Yogi Podcast, and we'll be sure to get back to you.
Thank you for listening to
The Modern Yogi.